Hi, this is Melissa Jane from Affordable Coaching. I'm starting my new series called Chatabout. And today I'm chatting about being neurodiverse and what that means to me. As I go on in this series, I will be interviewing other people that I use the term successful loosely because it means different things to different people. But people that would describe themselves as being neurodiverse and how that's affected them in their life. So to start off with, neurodiversity. Perhaps a new word and impossible to spell if you're dyslexic. And so for me anyway, dyslexia, dyslexic, very difficult words to spell, but I'm not bothered. I can say them. Other people know what they are. Well, perhaps they don't know what they are, which is maybe another reason why I'm doing this chat about. So, me. I'm a woman approaching my 60s, so I only say this because age means nothing to me. So, it just helps put things into perspective where I sat educationally. Which, let's just leave it at the education system didn't meet my needs at that time. I think I just managed to move beyond the dunce in the corner cap. I don't know if you're allowed to say that anymore. Put in a class full of young people that had other, as we know now, neurodiverse needs. So all put together, this class was absolute chaos. I find it funny now. At the time, sometimes it was frightening. I feel so sorry for the poor teachers that were sent to try and do something with us. However, they're funny stories and they could go on for quite some time, but it didn't help my education. So I left school with barely a CSE, they don't even exist anymore, in art. I went on to take qualifications in maths and English over and over and over until failing them so many times got me to believe in myself that I didn't need them. I've worked for myself. I'm good at that. I've worked for companies. I'm good at that. I have an innate ability to fit in wherever I am. And I think when you are dyslexic, I can't speak for other aspects, perhaps a little ADHD and a tendency for OCD, although I can let that one go. My grandmother was very helpful with that. Again, another story, and if I was to do a chat about her, well, we'd just all be in stitches all the time, I'm sure. So back to me and being dyslexic. So school, no. Work in life, no. Yes, no, yes. Having my own children, recognising neurodiversity, yes. Fighting for them so that they could get an education that I didn't, yes. Been successful with that, yes, to a degree, with my last child, so education was starting to change. And I won't talk too much about education because it's one of the areas that I still feel a little bit fearful of. But I've gone on to qualify and work highly in my field and respected, being a senior member of prestigious organisations, of which I won't name, as I don't need to. So for me, I've just spoke about fitting in, and yeah, as you grow up, realising that you're slightly different, You find all different ways to fit in. Sometimes, a lot of the time, doing things that you don't particularly want to do, but it's not going to upset other people, so you do it. You don't really understand why you're doing it, but it seems to please people, and pleasing people makes us all happy. We all have that innate need to be needed because we're human. So, reading's difficult, writing's difficult, spelling doesn't even have a word for it. So, fitting in, working with other people, yeah, really good at it, but spend most of your time doing what they need to do or doing what they need done, and then finding yourself absolutely burn out and don't understand why. You've given everything away, you've given your power away, everybody likes you. Like doesn't get you the promotion, like doesn't get you the clients that you need. So you find a way to push through, and the only way to survive being dyslexic in my world is to just give everything 110%. And when that's not good enough, 120%, beat yourself up a little because you're not good enough, and repeat the cycle. Working hard, working hard, working hard. When I went to work for a large company, I said that I was dyslexic, and they said, well, how can we help you? And I said, can I have the alphabet on the filing cabinets, please? To which the two interviewees just erupted with laughter, whilst I remained stony-faced. And then they stopped and they said, you mean that, don't you? I said, yes, I do. If you want me to file things as part of my job, I've just told you that I'm dyslexic. I can do it. Somebody else would do it far faster, but I can do it. But I need the alphabet on the outside of all filing cabinets. And I invented a new word, which the whole office took on, which was alphabeticalise. Because if I'd filed it, it would be filed by the first letter in alphabetic order. But that's as far as my alphabeticalising went. So it'd be in the D's somewhere. And I had a jolly time working there. Met some nice people. And the company really did listen to me. And I believe they're one of the biggest neurodiverse employers now in the UK. Again, I mention no names because I don't have any claim that this is, well, nothing to prove it, I'm trying to say. So I'm going to end this little chat about, because that's enough about me for today. But I will be telling you some more when I listen back to this and realise that I haven't said half the things that I was going to say, and then I'll need to fill in all the blanks, as is per usual in the world of a dyslexic. I hope you're having a great day, and I hope that you're thinking, wow, I wonder what it's like to be dyslexic. Well, let you tell me, and I can tell you that I love my dyslexic brain. It is a constant source of entertainment, but it also gives me a lot that a neurotypical brain doesn't have. So we'll move on to that soon.